As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I wonder how your family deals with difficult conversations. I wonder if the family you grew up with had a different way to dealing with difficult conversations to the family or group of friends that you're part of now. You know those conversations when you know something that needs to be discussed, but nobody really wants to because you're afraid it might be painful or it might expose disagreements. It's sometimes said that you shouldn't talk about politics or religion at dinner parties. Is that right? Just in case it leads to arguments, because it usually will. Now, this might be a particularly British cultural thing, or it might be a human thing. Some of us might avoid talking about things because we think it might lead to conflict. And one way of achieving this goal of avoiding conflict is to make sure that we only ever talk to people that we know, or at least are fairly sure, agree with us. To have affirming conversations that build us up in the opinions we already hold with nothing to challenge us. This can be seen in virtual conversations, in social media echo chambers, but also, I think, in the people we choose to talk to at the pub, at work, at college, wherever we are. It's a human thing. We find, what is it, birds of a feather flock together? We find like-minded people. It struck me, what was it? I can't remember. It might have been, you know those Warner Hotel breaks where they don't let kids? It might have been that, right? It might have been like the Scandinavian River Cruise adverts, but it talked about meeting with like-minded travellers. You know, people just like you. We find like-minded people, we spend time with them. That's one end of the spectrum. At the other end of the spectrum are people who seem to like nothing better than a fight. They actively seek out people they disagree with so that they can bait them, shout them down, demonstrate their own superiority and cleverness. Again, this can be seen online, the keyboard warriors hiding behind the anonymity of the internet, but also, I think, in life in general, the office bully, the loudmouth on the train, the queen bee at the school gate. Now, it seems to me that neither of these ends of the spectrum are actually a particularly Christian way of going about having these conversations. It's pretty obvious, I think, that the second one isn't. We heard Paul write to the Christians in Rome, honour one another, do not think you are superior. And in other places, of course, we read of the importance of humility, of gentleness and self-control being the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in our lives, I think, excludes that one as an option for us. But actually, equally, I don't think this end, the just placating, only talking to people who think like us, is actually any better for a disciple of Jesus. You see, keeping the peace and avoiding conflict, at first glance, it looks like the better option, but it does come with some significant problems. Again, we heard Paul write, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. If we never talk about difficult things, but always submit to the opinions of those we gather around us, of those who think like us, I think we run the risk of being conformed to the pattern of this world. In Matthew's eyewitness account of the good news of Jesus' life, he spends three chapters, chapters 5 to 7, sharing some of Jesus' teaching. It is absolutely life-changing teaching. It gives a new way of looking at life, of looking at living, at our relationship with God. It renews our minds as we think on it, pray about it, live it. And Jesus, in the summary that we heard read this morning, describes his words as a rock. Not shifting sand, but rock. that is solid, unmoving, and safe to build our lives on. So when it comes to difficult conversations, whatever models we grew up with in our families, whatever models we have now, it seems to me that the model we find in the readings from Paul and Jesus is that we need to engage with them, to take part in them, not being afraid, but being open to God's Holy Spirit to speak through us and to speak to us as we listen and talk carefully with each other. Now, over the last decades, the Church of England has been having a series of sometimes difficult conversations about identity, sexuality, relationships, and marriage. The latest conversations have led to the production of some resources under the Living in Love and Faith banner. There is a very big book. Anybody particularly wants to borrow it or buy it, that's the very big book. There's also an online learning resource hub with videos and stories and things like that. There is also a small book, you might be pleased to hear. This is a small group course book. And these have been put together by a working party at the request of the House of Bishops. And it was made up by a group of Anglican Christians, a wide range, with a variety of different views and perspectives on these areas of life. Now, the aim of this material, and I need to say this clearly, and I'd really love you to hear it clearly, the aim of this material is not to advocate or to try and persuade anyone to change their minds about what they think. There is no underlying agenda here to change the church's teaching or doctrine, or for it to be unchanged. What this material seeks to do is to provide a range of perspectives, of views on this, and to invite us to have a conversation about it. Within the group who wrote it, there are people like me who think the church's teaching and doctrine should remain as it is. And there are those who think that it should change. And they worked together to produce this material to try and present those different points of view fairly and clearly, and to provide a framework so that people across the church could have good conversations about it. And by good conversations, I mean ones in which everybody feels heard, in which people come away with a deeper love for each other, and in which people gain a clearer understanding of God's call and will for their lives. That's what I see as a good conversation. So having produced this material, the bishops have asked the whole Church of England, parish churches, to have conversations around this material so that they can feed back to the bishops, so we can feed back to the bishops our reflections and thoughts on it. And that is part of the discernment process of where the Holy Spirit is leading the church nationally to think about its position and what it says about these issues of identity, sexuality, relationships, and marriage. So there's going to be a number of ways for us to engage with this material. As I said, it's all on the internet, so if you want to Google it, you can do that and look at all the stories and videos in your own time. If you want to buy the big book, you're very welcome to do that and have a read of it. But if you want to come to a small group looking at it, we're going to set up a particular... we're not going to do it in our normal small groups. We're going to do it on Thursday evenings, beginning on the 14th of October in the evening, in the parish centre. It's 5 weeks worth of material, but half term's in the middle, so it's actually going to take 6 weeks because we'll have a break for half term. And it's going to be co-hosted by me and by Sarah Parsons, who chairs our Mission and Discipleship Action Group. It's going to be running on a different evening, but in the same weeks, in Telford, East Telford Benefice. And there's going to be an online version run by the diocese as well. So there's different ways you can engage with it, either in person or online, so that you can listen to the stories and have your say about what you think about these things. Now, in this church, we believe that we are called to be closer to Christ and sent to be closer to others. Coming closer to Christ means allowing our lives to be shaped by God's word, rather than shaping what we think about God's word around our lives. Coming closer to Christ means being shaped by his word, not shaping what we think about his word by our lives. And to do this well, we need to be honest with each other about our different understandings of the word, so that we can learn together to read and live it faithfully. We see ourselves as a light on a hill, a place of worship, of friendship, of service, with Jesus at the centre, a family of congregations, all sharing the same vision and values. We value loving God, loving each other, loving our neighbours, exploring and celebrating. And I believe that these values are going to be important as we take this opportunity to have these potentially difficult conversations. Loving God. We seek to base what we think about identity, sexuality, relationships, and marriage in our love for God, on God's word to us, by seeking God's will for us as individuals and as a community in prayer. Loving each other. We choose to love each other even when we disagree, and to be brave enough to speak and kind enough to listen to each other's views and stories with gentleness and compassion. And it seems to me that the church has often failed to love LGBTQ Christians, whom we have hurt and excluded. There is room for repentance here of unloving attitudes and a need for a commitment to love each other. Loving our neighbours. We know that much of the wider society is out of step with the church's teaching about these things. There is a work of discernment to be done so that we can understand if we are being conformed to the pattern of this world, or if God is renewing our minds to show us new ways of living faithfully. Whichever it is, loving our neighbours doesn't necessarily mean agreeing with them or affirming their understanding. Sometimes the loving thing to do is to stand firm and warn people carefully and with grace that they may be heading in a direction that is going to cause them or others real harm. Exploring. It takes courage to explore, to go off the beaten track, to meet people who are strange to us. Our perspectives and ways of seeing things might be challenged. It can feel risky, but it's the only way to learn, the only way to grow, the only way to find things out, to step beyond those groups of people who think like us and see things like us, to explore and to hear. And celebrating. Again, I don't think that we have been good as a wider church at celebrating the gifts of God in this area. I wonder what it would look like if we were more focused on celebrating our primary identity in Christ. I wonder what it would have looked like historically if the church had spent more time celebrating sex as a gift of God and less time warning people off it. I wonder what it would look like if the church was better at celebrating singleness as a way of life, a way of life that Jesus chose. I wonder what it would look like for the church to provide people with ways of celebrating friendships and marriages. We have this purpose as a church. We have this vision as a church. We have these values. And now we have an opportunity to put them into practice and model to the world what it means to love those we disagree with, to listen to each other, and to pursue unity in the face of things that could divide us. So this autumn, I invite you to join me in taking this opportunity. Perhaps a little nervously, but nevertheless, in faith, hope, and love. Amen.